Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Pastor Barry just talked about how when we moved in here in the new season, and one of the commitments that we made at that time, if you remember, if you were here for that first Sunday, Pastor Barry talked about Christ, the headship of Christ, and made a commitment that we would revisit the core values that we have here at St. Charles River Church. And that message meant so much that Pastor Carl did a part two the next Sunday. But then we've had a lot of things that have happened with the holidays coming up and different things over the past month, and so we haven't been able to get back and revisit those core values. And so we're going to do that today. We're going to revisit one of the core values. If you look at your bulletin, it's grace orientation. And what I found as I was preparing the message was that it's hard to talk about grace without talking about mercy.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
And then I was reading an article, and it said, grace and mercy are two sides of the same coin, and that is the coin of love. So if you're holding up a coin here, and this is love, you have grace, mercy. Grace, mercy. So the three of them are tied together. One of the most recited verses, probably the one every one of us probably learned, the very first verse we learned was John 3:16, which said, "For God so loved the world." And that two-letter word there, "so," carries so much impact.
Right.
It's not that God loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's the part Pastor Barry just talked about a little bit ago. Just the passion of God's love for us.
That's right.
So there was if any of you big fans, I was a big fan of the King of Queens TV show. There was an opening scene in one of the episodes. Doug calls Carrie. They chat. And then Carrie says, "All right, love you, bye." And Doug says, "All right, love you, bye." And then he stops. He goes, "Let's quit doing that." She's like, "What? Let's quit that automatic love you thing at the end. You know, every couple does it, right? Love you, bye-bye." He goes, "We know how we feel about each other. So let's just say it when we really want to say it." So she's like, "So we're just going to stop saying I love you on the phone?" He goes, "Well," he said, "we've stopped already. Because we didn't even put the I in there. We just love you. And as I was sharing that with Carmen, I found out I'm guilty of that myself. So it's something I'm working on now. She says it's more of like two dudes that love you, man. You know, it's like so. So it's something I got to work on. But she goes, "Oh, all right. Well, then bye." And he goes, "Bye." He hangs up. Then he calls her right back. And she answers the phone. And he goes, "I love you." And she goes, "I love you too." And, of course, then he ends the call with love you, bye. So, but God's love is not like that. It's not like that. In the song Good Grace, in the chorus, it says, "Fix your eyes on this one truth, that God is madly in love with you."
Yes.
Not just God love you, God is madly in love with you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate so much, Pastor Barry, the thought that you just stood up here just now. Because I've talked to some folks I talked with a person who was struggling a little bit with their church home. And one of the things was they said, it's the same thing. God loves you, blah, 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 you know. And it was just so robotic. And it wasn't carrying the real passion that God has for us. So I appreciate you so much standing up here. Talking about God giving us that wet, sloppy, passionate kiss that, you know, because he loves us. He's our daddy and he loves us so much. And because he loves us, that's what allows him to give us the grace and the mercy that we receive. And that's what we're going to look at today. Wilmington's Guide to the Bible says, grace is the act of endowing unmerited favor. So in other words, it's grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. I've been reading, I just finished reading Max Lucado's book, The Grip of Grace. And he used the foundation as the book of Romans. And as we're talking about our core value of a grace orientation. And if you look at the grace, the verse we use is Romans 6:14. And we're going to look at it in a little bit, but we're going to go beyond that. But he says Romans, the book of Romans is the grandest writing on grace that you could read. So if you really want to get into looking at God's grace, I would encourage you to read through the book of Romans. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 6, as I said. Romans chapter 6 talks about breaking the power of sin. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 12. It says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. And the question I asked right after that is how? How do we not let sin control the way that we live? And there's a lot of ways that what we need to do is we need to understand what it is that causes us, that leads us into sin. What are our weaknesses? And then we need to avoid being in those situations where our weaknesses can overcome us. How many of you are like fans of the TV show Cheers, you know, when it was on? So you have Sam Malone, next baseball player who owns a bar, right? And he was an alcoholic. So TV shows and writers can make that work.
Sure.
But that is not what you want to do. You do not want to put yourself in a position to be tempted by the thing where you have the weakness in. And then you want to invest your time in God. Pastor Barry, we're going to get into this. We're going to, in the next verse, about wholehearted, going all in, just like what you talked about. We want to be committed to God. If we walk with God, that helps take us away from that power of sin. Verse 13 says, do not, and I want you to pay attention to some key words here. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely, completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body, every bit of your being, as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. How many of you were here last week for Scout Sunday? And our head scout master, Joe Winkleman, had a great message on being connected to the Father, connected to the vine. And he gave us a great illustration of grafting. And Pastor Barry, you just mentioned it again a moment ago about being grafted into the Father.
That's right.
Being rooted into Him. As we're connected into Him, rooted into Him, and being fed by Him, that's where we're getting our feeding from. And to protect your body, because any part of your body, if you let it stray, can pull the rest of your body with you.
Right.
You know, I learned something about anatomy several years ago that I was battling a cold, battled for a couple weeks. And it's like, I'm not going to go to the doctor because they're just going to say, it's a cold, got to let it pass, so I'm not going to waste my time with that. Went on and on and on. Well, then I started having back spasms. And I'm like, oh, okay, now this is bothering me. So I went to the doctor. She checked me out, took x-rays, said, you got pneumonia.
Wow.
And that's what's causing your back spasms. I'm like, huh? And it was because my lungs and that were filling with the fluid, and it was putting pressure on my back. And that's what was causing my back spasms. I would have never, ever made the connection between the two. You just don't know how when one part of your body, when it gets impacted in a negative way, how it can carry on to the rest of your body. And that's why it's important that your whole body be devoted to God. And then verse 14, and this is the one that we have with our core value, it says, sin is no longer your master.
That's right.
For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And I wrote right here in my Bible, said, thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that you've given me the freedom of your grace.
That's right.
I know that, you know, it's only because of God's grace that I'm able to be in the position I'm in today, being able to serve. And it's because of God's grace that we're able to, we put aside the things that bring us down and we let God direct us and lead us because He gives us that freedom.
That's right.
But then the thing is, what happens is when we get to verse 15, is some people think, well, then I could just go on sinning and sinning and sinning. I mean, if God's going to forgive me, what's to stop me from just continuing to sin? And verse 15 covers that. It says, well, then since God's grace has set us free, or ask that question, sets us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. So going back to Joe's message last week, remember he did a little quiz for us. And there was a question there, and I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but it was something to the effect of, you know, if you've committed a sin, you did this sin, you know it was a sin, how would you respond? And one of the options was, well, I've already done it anyway, so I might as well just enjoy it, right? No, that is not the right response. And the reason it's not the right response is because of that. What happens is when we are grafted into God and we are letting God direct us, that takes away that desire to sin. You don't want to do it anymore. And when you do it, then you have remorse and you ask for forgiveness. You give it over to God. Verse 16 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So if you have any gamers in your house, and maybe even if you don't, because it's so popular and it's so pervasive in culture, there's a game called Fortnite. Yeah, Fortnite. You see the dances and everything to go along with it. And the people who created Fortnite were geniuses, unfortunately. Because what they did is they offered the game for free. Oh, no, you don't pay for this game. But then when you look at it, it talks about, you know, there's in-app purchases. Yeah, that's where they get you. And so Eli, he started playing the game. His friends were playing the game. He's playing the game. He's loving the game. Well, they have what's called skins. So you have your avatar and you have a different skin that you can put on it. It gives it a different appearance. And they would, I tell you, they would come up with skins that would match. If it was Halloween, they'd have Halloween skin. They have skins for NFL players where they match NFL players. I mean, they covered every base. And then they make it where you just gotta have it. Gotta have it. There's a new skin coming out Friday. I gotta have it. If I don't get it, this is the last chance I can do it. Yeah, that's great. And then next week, there's going to be another one that you gotta have.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They just keep pulling at you, pulling at you. Now, thankfully, Eli has finally gotten to the point of realizing that maybe this is not the best thing in the world. Because we're like, we can't do this. We can't do this every week. You need $10, $20 because there's a fabulous new skin out. It just doesn't happen that way. And I don't care if it's our money, your money, that's just not the way to go. And he finally realized that, yeah, okay, this is a money pit. And that's exactly what it is. They draw you in. They got to have you. And then you can't break away from it. You cannot break away from it. I was thinking about a time that when Amanda was very little, we were leaving church one Sunday evening and went to church with my mom and dad. So the boys left church and the girl stayed behind to clean up and we were heading over to my mom and dad's house. Now my dad was a smoker. One of the great things about, for me, and I know I have friends who smoke and I do not, you know, that's a choice between you and the father, you know, how you handle that. I do not like smoking. And so I was so glad to get out of the house to get away. That was one reason, to get away from smoking. So when I had my own place, I got to establish my own rules. No smoking in my house, no smoking in my car. So we were leaving church and we got Amanda with us and my dad starts to reach for a cigarette. I said, what are you going to do with that? Now, Rick and Pam can tell you, because they've met my dad. My dad's a pretty imposing sight. Big guy. He was a former Marine, former police officer. So it was a lot for me to stand up to him. I said, what are you getting ready to do with that? You're not going to like that, are you? He goes, well, I thought I would. Well, no. He goes, what? What do you mean? I go, well, number one, it's not good for the baby. And you know I don't allow smoking in my car. And he goes, well, why don't you just let me out then? Now walk home. And I said, you can't wait 15 more minutes to light a cigarette. Maybe you do need to walk home. So he put the cigarette away. I won that battle. But that's how stuff can just get a grip on you, you know. And that's what sin does. And we want to break that grip that sin has on us. And we can, because verse 17, thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. And I know there's some concern sometimes as I was reading through, like using the word slaves, but Paul used the word slaves just because of the, it is, there's a bondage factor there. And you can be either be in bondage to sin, or you can live for the Father. And that's the choice that is before us. And that's what God offers to us through His grace. He gives us that unmerited favor,
right,
what we don't deserve.
That's right.
Well, as I said, there's two sides to the coin. And the other one is mercy. And we're going to jump over to Hebrews chapter 9. You know, Lamentations 3:22 through 23 tells us that His mercies never end. We have new mercies every day that He makes available to us. And going back to Wilmington's study of the Bible for a second, it says mercy is the act of withholding deserved punishment. So if grace was God giving us what we don't deserve, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And they work hand in hand. And in Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about the old way of worship and how our sins were presented to God. And it talks about the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle and how the priest would go in and would offer sacrifice, for our sins. In verse 5, it says, above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, or in what we call it the mercy seat,
right. The
place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail now. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. So if you look back just a little bit before verse 5, at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about how there's two rooms. There was the holy place, which was where priests would go in on a regular basis and perform the religious duties that were expected of them. And then you had the most holy place, which was only where the high priest could go. So verse 6 is talking about the holy place and where the priests would go in and do their regular religious duties. Verse 7 says, but only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his sins and for the sins of the people who had committed in ignorance. So one time a year, that Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in to the most holy place, and he would sprinkle blood on that mercy seat. And it was animal blood. They would sprinkle it on there. And they would take for their sins and for the sins of the people.
Right.
And that only happened one time a year.
Right.
Verse 8, by these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. So this was the old way. And that was the process. They had a process they put in place. So if you need your sins forgiven, there was that one day a year where the high priest would go in and he would take that in and he would sprinkle that on. But you didn't have access to it. Even other priests didn't have access to it. It was just the high priest, and only once a year. So you imagine you're saving all your sins up for one time a year to turn over and to ask for forgiveness. But then Christ made a better way for us. And we're going to see that in verse 11. We jump down to verse 11. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which is not made by human hands and not part of this created world. So that ark, the covenant, and the tabernacle and all that was previously built were built by human hands. Now they were given direction by God as far as how it was to be built, but it was built by human hands and it was something here on earth. But Christ came he has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven. This was something that God had provided. It was not man-made. Something that God provides. And it's so great that we're actually, normally we would have communion on the first Sunday of the month, but with the Scout Sunday we moved it to this week. And I think it's perfect that we just observe communion and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross and remembering that, and that we're looking at this piece of scripture here. Verse 12 says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. So no longer did it require the high priest to go in on the Day of Atonement and to do this once a year and to sprinkle blood of an animal on the mercy seat. Christ shed his own blood on the cross one time and provided that redemption for us forever. We're going to watch a little bit of a video here. And in the video, they're going to reference at the beginning, if they don't give the scripture reference, but it's Jeremiah 29:13, and kind of goes in with what we've been talking about, going in with your all, whole heart. And I love being able to find stories from other people who can share a story. When I went to my ordination interview back in October, one of the questions they asked me in the interview was, so when you do a message, do you find that your messages tend to kind of carry a similar theme, a same, And I said, yeah, actually, as I thought about it, I said, I think that I always come back to realizing that we all have a story. God has given us, each one of us, a story. It's something we talk about in the men's group all the time. And understanding what our story is, and the reason we had that story is to be able to share it with someone else, because there's someone else that can benefit, maybe through what we've been through. So I love being able to, when I find stuff that relates to what we're trying to talk about here, and how it's their own personal story. So what we're going to watch is, this is Brooke Leiterwood from Hillsong Worship. And she had a little bit of a message that she was giving. And this is the very beginning of that message. And it talks about her experience with the mercy seat. So Travis, you go ahead and read. Everywhere we go, the mercy seat is there with us. Because God is always with us. He's walking with us in all that we do. He is right there, ready to interact with us. And if we have something that we need to take to him, we don't have to go looking for him. You don't even have to come here. She said, she talked about how they had one at the church she attended. We don't have to come here and then look for a spot. It's everywhere that we are. That mercy seat is there for us. And it's just so great to be able to know that we're not alone. Because we have a God who gives us grace, who gives us mercy, and that's because of the love that he has for us.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.